This is Julian Valdivia with the Sam Proctor Oral History Program. I'm here today in Roberto Clemente Park at the Lee County Black History Society, interviewing Eddie
Salters
and Cecilia Watson. Okay, and so if I understand right, Nancy Sims contacted you both, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted me to talk with you both about the history of Fort Myers. And I wanted to ask and first see, when were you both born?
1949.
Okay.
1948. 1946.
Okay.
They're just gonna spread that. You can leave it on paper.
Okay. All right, so we're starting it back up. I just wanted to first ask then, in what ways, since we don't have a lot of time, what ways have you both been involved in the community here in Fort Myers?
Yeah.
Finished school here. That's basically, and another little different group activities and stuff that, you know, pertaining to the community.
Mm.
So that would depend on what's happening at a certain time and what's going on, you know, just then your contribution. You know, you're just around mostly observing.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so if
doing work in the community through my sorority, American Legion, Auxiliary,
okay,
church, school,
and I was gonna ask then, seeing when you guys were both born. I'm assuming both of you went to Dunbar High then,
mm-hmm.
before it was closed. And can I ask too, what sorority was it that you,
Sigma Gamma Rho.
Okay. All right. And, so let me just start with, I guess, like, during school then, were either of you active in the community while you were in your teens? Because, I mean, during your teens then, we're in the middle of the Civil Rights Movement. I know Friendship Baptist Church, Isidore Edwards, is trying to organize people in the community for sit-ins at a lot of the local restaurants, like the snack house.
That was downtown, and we weren't allowed to go eat in the front.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go around the back to order and eat during that particular time.
Mm-hmm. And McCrory's had a snack by there, but we couldn't eat there. We could go stand there and order, but we couldn't sit down and eat there. We could order and get food and go.
Okay. Do you remember at all, because this is actually one thing I've been told about, but I haven't gotten a lot of details about, with when they desegregated Fort Myers Beach. I heard that they like bust people in, and then you could see like all of the people just like move away as like
No, I don't remember that.
Mm-mm.
Because we were allowed, we went to Bunch Beach.
Okay.
We had a separate beach.
Yep.
Black Beach, Bunch Beach.
Yep.
And that's the beach that we attended during that time, and until, I don't actually remember what closed it down for, you know, just for, I guess, integration.
Mm.
You know, they had to open up both beaches, and then a lot of people that were going to Bunch Beach started kind of infiltrating.
Yeah, going to
Fort Myers Beach.
Mm.
But up until then, we was at Bunch Beach.
Okay. And I don't remember who told me to. It might have actually been LaVon Sims or George Mayo or someone. That he thought the, or they thought the reason why Bunch Beach closed was because it just wasn't as good. Like, it was rockier, and the county really just kind of took a plot of land out. And that's why they had made it the Black Beach in comparison.
No, it was the Black Beach. No, I was a baby.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, it was Black Beach. And originally, it was Black Beach.
Mm. Right.
That's to keep us from off the White Beach. Off
when
of Fort
our
Mile
parents
Beach.
Were, you know, teenagers or whatever, that it was always Bunch Beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they, the city had a facility out there with, I think just the grown-ups went in there, right? With,
no, they had a restroom. They had a building
you know,
there.
No, talking about the people they go in and dance and drink yeah. and stuff
that.
That
was the same building the bathroom was. It's like a,
yeah.
You know, they had, didn't they sell hot dogs and stuff in there?
Yeah, they sold food.
A little food right there,
but
yeah.
most of the grown people just, you know, went in there. And,
yeah.
Because I think they were selling alcohol.
I don't think.
But
it might have been under the table.
No.
It was moonshine.
But yeah, it was always Bunch Beach. It was always the Black Beach.
Okay.
Until, yeah. you know, integration. And then people just stopped going to Bunch Beach because now you could go to Four Miles Beach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. I wanted to ask too, did anyone ever like take trips out to Sanibel during that time?
I used to go out there and go fishing. Mm-hmm. That's basically what I was out there for, fishing.
Fishing?
Yeah, group of us go out there, go to the pier fishing.
But
not
to go and eat or use their
mingle with
them.
Yeah. With that community. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you had a family out there. You had a Black family that was raised by 20 kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a couple. There are three of them, I think.
Yeah.
Gavins, Preston,
Gavins,
and Walkers.
I'm more familiar with the Gavins.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. So then, if I could ask, when did you both graduate school? Because then that would help me get a better idea of...
I graduated 66.
Okay.
And I'm 64.
66, 64. All right. So... were you both around in Fort Myers for the whole time, or did you, or like for the whole time after high school, or did you move away and then come back later?
After high school, I went to my first year of college, and then I came back and attended Edison. So I was here until, well, integration was in my place then. I left in 71 and went back to college.
Okay.
Graduated,
and basically, I was here all along. I went on the campus. I went on A&M campus, Florida A&M campus. You know, I mean, going to try out for the band, but that didn't really work out financially. So. I didn't stay up there, so basically, here is where I've been.
Okay. So then, you went back to school in 1971. You've been here for the whole time. I think it was either April of 71 or 72. Do either of you remember when they had the riots here in Fort Myers or at the schools?
Yeah, but we was out of school then.
So.
But I remember. But there was something going on out in the Cape.
North.
And I think there was Fort Myers had something going on out there, too.
Yeah, Fort Myers High School was the big one, to my understanding. I know North Fort Myers had a walkout and things like that. Okay. So then, could I ask then, were either of you... involved in any of like the church's activities too, because I know at least to my understanding were the churches the ones that were like organizing most of the civil rights activities?
It was mostly friendship.
Oh, okay.
Friendship. And during that time I was one of them that spotted these white guys coming through in the trucks and the cars. with the guns and stuff in the back seat and whatever, because Friendship is two-story.
Yeah.
And I was up top, and when they come through, they're driving slow or whatever, I guess to intimidate, you know. Somebody gonna see it. You ride through there slowly. Somebody gonna see what's inside, and you see guns. Then that's supposed to instill fear.
Mm.
Apparently, from coming through there like that, knowing what's going on in the community, come through like that. So yeah, I saw it, and I see it guns.
Mm.
You know, so.
All right. Were either of you involved in the NAACP during that time?
No.
Okay.
I joined later on, but not at that particular time.
Okay. When was later on?
I don't remember the dates because I got in and then I don't want to go into this kind of personal field. I did join for a while.
Okay.
Not during that time you spoke about.
Okay. Do you remember who the president was when you joined?
Willie Green. I think Willie Green at that time. I wasn't in there that long.
Okay.
I think I was in there for one voting time. I mean, not joined until. Oh, how long was that? But I think it was Willie Green when I joined.
Mr. Davies, what did he have to do? I remember him being.
Davies was. I don't know if he was one of the.
If I could ask, because I remember hearing the name before, who was Davies?
And then he got involved in a little politics. When it came to racism and all, he was involved in trying to
enlighten everybody what was going on, that who a lot of us was illiterate to what was actually going on, and this is some person here that had been involved in one way or another, some other place, and you know, came to assist us in into whatever was going on at the time.
Okay.
When was needed, you know, when something spur up, then he would come and explain to us who didn't know what was what.
Okay. So then, all right. I want to ask them, what were some of the big causes that you remember going on at the time when, I'm assuming this is like late 70s, early 80s then, because I think that's when Willie Green came in after Veronica Shoemaker, right?
Yeah.
The NAACP?
Yeah.
Did she ever had the NAACP?
Hey. Yeah, she did. Willie Green came after Shoemaker.
Okay.
After Shoemaker?
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. All of them came after her.
But I don't remember her being in the ABC.
Yeah.
NAACP. But I remember when she was running for office then. You know, she ran about three times when she ran for office. Well, it's just a little time working on it right now.
That's all right. It happens to everyone.
Yeah, keep working up. But yeah, okay. But I was in there for a minute. Could have been. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly who came first, but I know they were both there.
All right. So then, post-integration, like post, I know it was Blaylock versus Public Board of Education in Lee County. What were some of the goals of, like, what were the causes that the NAACP was going for at the time?
I think basically what it was a difference in the treatment of Dunbar and then the schools like Fort Myers. See, those Fort Myers, Dunbar was the always, you know, it was school that whatever Fort Myers didn't want or didn't need anymore or whatever, they would push it over to Dunbar.
And books, everything.
Yeah, books that had been destroyed and they put them down there for us to learn out of. You know, they've been written all over, pages missing and stuff like this. But this is what Fort Myers sent to us. We never did get the new stuff unless we went out in the community begging for money to get this stuff. That's how we got out of the outside. I was in the band. I was a drummer. And that's what we had to do in order to get new uniforms. I mean, we had just go all over the uniform, all over the community.
Okay.
For money to get new uniforms. We're tired of that other stuff they was handing down to us. So then when we got in, I mean, we outplayed them anyway. We had a small band, but we really outplayed them. Everybody wanted to see the band, our band.
All right. So, Eddie, can I ask then, after high school, what were you doing for work?
After high school? Right out of after high school, chilling. I wasn't doing too much of nothing. You know, it wasn't like there was a lot of work here for us. You know, you find jobs, like part-time jobs, you know, but it wasn't like, it wasn't a lot of work for kids just coming out of high school. If you didn't go directly into college, you know, other than that, you know, you just had to hum around and go to different places. Begging for jobs, you know, but the opportunity wasn't nothing like it is now, you know, nowhere near it.
Okay. And then, Cecilia, since you had gone to college, what did you, did you go to one of the HBCUs here in Florida, or did you go out of state?
I went out of state.
Okay. Where out of state did you go to?
Columbia, South Carolina, Allen University.
Okay. And what did you want to get your degree in? Or what did you get your degree in?
Well, I was undecided when I first went, but I got my degree in elementary education.
Oh, okay. So did you come back to teach here after graduating, or?
I taught in Alabama. I came back here in 76.
Okay.
And I was at Alba Elementary. I was the first black teacher that they hired at Alba Elementary. They had a black teacher at the middle school.
Okay. Why did you move to Alabama after college?
I wanted to leave Fort Myers. I wanted to get away from Fort Myers.
Do you remember why you wanted to get away?
Just wanted to try something different, you know.
Get out from under mama.
Okay. When you had left and come back, were there any like stark differences between the two times that you remember?
No, things were different. Things were better.
Oh, okay.
You know, the opportunities were getting better. You were able, you know, to go downtown and eat.
And really, we had that. Actually, like the theaters.
Go downtown.
I was one of the first to break that. One of the first to go to the movies downtown.
Okay.
First black to go to the movie downtown. But we had one here on Anderson.
We had our own drive-in, our own
theater,
our own everything.
And so, once integration happened, what started happening to a lot of the black businesses around here? Were they also getting like white customers in the same way that the other businesses started getting black customers, or was there still kind of that line?
No, they weren't that. They weren't that plentiful out here. They didn't. Just basically, what was out here? There was a couple of stores. Then you had the theater. Then you had the store across from the theater. The owner owned the theater, owned the store, Thailand. And then the one across the street. So basically, what was there before was there afterwards.
Mm.
And it wasn't a rush. There wasn't a rush in where whites just moved in business-wise.
Yeah.
Moved in and stuff.
What I could remember. Okay. So then... could I ask then, were either of you involved politically, like in any of Veronica Shoemaker's campaigns? Because I know she ran like 13 or 17 times or something like that.
I think three times, four times. I think it was fourth time.
No?
No.
No, but I, unofficially, I did.
Okay.
You know, I knew the family and all. And, you know, I would talk to different people in her favor. In fact, we worked together. She worked, most of her family worked where I worked. I mean, well, she, the sisters, three of her sisters, it was three of them that worked in there. Veronica, Sarah, Richard, four of them, her family, brothers, her siblings, they all worked where I worked at the Gulf Coast Center.
Okay. Do you remember, or when you were working there, or when you were helping out with the campaigns, do you remember what years they were?
No.
No?
Now I'm a bad person with the dates.
Okay.
You talking about the year, you bring back the year, I'm going to look the other way. It wasn't yesterday.
Well, let me ask this. Did she win any of the years that you helped out?
Yeah, well, I somewhat... I guess a couple of years, you know, a couple of years there where I call myself happy. You know, I see people, you know, you're going to vote for her for this reason and, you know, stuff like that. Because actually when she won, we were one of the first, I was one, and then voted. We were one of the first people that she called. We was at work and they called and said that she won and wanted us to come by the house. We went by, came by the house, the first election she won.
That was 1982.
Okay, well, thank you.
that's why I like trying to piece it together with like the questions where it's like, did she win? Well, that tells me the date.
Yeah, she called us at work.
Huh.
Come by the house. She won. Her and her sisters were there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which, to my understanding, that was like a pretty big feat because like the way that they voted for city council back then, well, this is something I've been like trying to like wrap my head around, but they didn't have like the wards. Like, I think, was it like everyone voted, like everyone in the county voted for each seat? Something like that?
Yeah, I don't even matter.
There's like mass voting or something like that?
I don't remember no wards.
I don't
just
either.
Just voted.
Yeah.
I mean, where did I go to vote? Where did you go to vote then?
I know I voted.
I know I voted too, because
I can't remember where I voted.
I would vote for her when I didn't vote for nobody else. I'd just go and vote for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when it was time to vote for her or not.
That is a good question. Where did we go and vote that during that time?
Are you talking about like where like the voting
location?
Yeah. Okay.
Because we didn't have no wards. Know where people go displace that place, and we just all went and voted in at one place, one spot. I can't remember.
Did they, could it have been like how they do it now, where they just kind of like find, like public facilities.
All the blacks voted at one. We all voted at the same place.
Oh, okay. They only had one place.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, but I can't remember where it was.
Huh.
Because I remember when I first got my voter's registration card, how excited I was. I couldn't wait. I could go and vote, but I can't remember where it was.
Do you remember when you got your card? Was it during college or?
Except I went to Allen 1 year, and then I
came back. Oh, that's right, and then you came back to Edison.
And I went to Edison.
Yes.
But I got my card.
Okay. If I could ask then, after Veronica Shoemaker had won then, do you remember how, like, the community responded?
Well, everybody was excited. A black person?
Mm.
You know, winning an election? Oh, that was just really big for us.
Yeah.
Especially after she had ran through, you know,
yeah, it ran
several
so
years,
many times.
You know, and then finally, mm-hmm. you know. Just like, hey, from segregation to integration.
Okay. Well, we're running near the end of the time, and I don't want to hold you guys for too long. So I guess I'll cut the interview there. Thank you for talking with me.
Yeah,
and,
that's it?
Yeah, no, that's it. Yeah.
But it's supposed to happen somewhere out near Page Field, back out there. Neil or something like that. They were saying this boy that, and this white girl, well, but they lynched the boy. The boy, he was innocent.
Mm.
They were saying they lynched him and they brought him down there in the bottom around Cranford Avenue. The way of buildings, old building, two-story building. They hung him there. And I was told that my grandfather was one of the guys that went up there and cut him down.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So then, if I could ask them, like, did your, like, family just, like, talk about the lynching, or?
Well, you would,
like,
always say that was something to talk about. Yeah, that was something to talk about, it, you know.
Mm.
And to continuously talk about it, you know.
See, that's interesting to hear, because, like, the way, like, I've, like, always read about it is it's always been something that's been, like, hush-hush. But I always, whenever I see that, I think it's always, hush-hush on this side of the tracks is the thing. Well, on that side of the tracks, not this side of the tracks where we are right now, but.
No, it wasn't hush-hush.
As a matter of fact, I mean, up to the day, well, everybody's dead now that we talk about it.
Yeah.
But you would hear about all the conventions and this, up and I would say, till after Tookie died.
Yeah, it's still, yeah. But always, you know, in a conversation.
That's been a few years ago.
Yeah. And if any kind of conversation comes up, then, you know.
Okay.
Because that is something, you know, it's something that you don't forget.
Mm.
You know. You might do what they say, you can forgive for that, but you just, that's just something you can't forget.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't even find it, you know, forgive for that.
Mm.
I had an uncle that. You had to break him down and make him forget. Can't forgive for that. He was just the opposite.
All right. Well, thanks for talking about that, Eddie. I haven't met anyone that, well, really knew much about the lynching in general. A lot of them, I thought I'd just have to find in the books and old tapes that I found. But
see, that building was just—it was right around the corner from where my family lived. My daddy.
Mm.
It's his daddy and grandmother right around the corner. So, you know, that's in the area.
Yeah.
In the area. And it's just something people talked about.
Mm.
You know, and from what I understood and what they were always saying was that the boy was innocent.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm actually talking with, oh, I don't remember what university she goes to, but she used to live down here. Her father owned, like, a car dealership. She goes to school up in Illinois, and she's trying to find stuff about the girl that they said that the two boys said, well, they used the word rape, but it by all accounts, it doesn't seem that it was. And according to some accounts from her, apparently, like, she didn't even, like, know what was going on at the time. Like, people just kind of used her as, like, a way to, you know, commit,
justify what was happening.
Exactly. Like, justify mass violence.
Yeah.
I'm interested in seeing what she has. I'll definitely tell the people here if she tells me anything, and then that reaches you guys, hopefully. But it's extremely interesting. I wish we had more on it, but yeah. So I guess I'll cut the interview here then, because that was the alarm earlier going over time. I know you have people coming. I really don't want to impose and hold you for too long.
That's okay. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.